try to gab a little while and maybe it'll be worthwhile to you. Did you know when I was a kid and got old enough to go to school, a lot of Indian kids around. And yeah, I was interested in kids because they were different from me. I didn't know why. And they knew all about wildlife and I wanted to. So if I could get my bow and arrow and sneak out in the woods with them instead of going to school, I'd always do it. And that, I guess, is the reason that I've lived like I did all my life. Now, when I went north, of course, wildlife and Indians were still interesting to me. And I'm going to tell you about the dogs there, but I want to tell you a lot first. Now, of course, when we first went there, why, you'd read in the books and hear fellas say, oh, that Eskimo dog is part wolf because he don't bark. Well, at the same time, I'd heard wolves bark, and I've heard the husky bark, and not like the Pomeranian. He don't yap-yap like that, but he barks when there's an occasion. So I knew that is wrong, and as I found out things was wrong, I wanted to find out what was right. Now, about the Eskimo, all of his legends and everything that you can learn about him, he's going south. Now, for instance, in the business, they've got a legend where they come all one winter up the Tananaw from the Yukon, way up into the mountain there, and then they crossed over. And from that tribe, why, the whole Copper River is populated. Now, that's their legend. Well, now, among those Indians, clear to the lower Copper, you'll find kids that you know or think is Eskimo. Now, you get among those Eskimos around Point Barrow and see them kids playing, you'd say, well, they're Japanese or Chinese. You're just sure of it. The grown-ups don't show it so much, but the kids don't. Well, now, you get way down on the Copper River, and you'll see kids there, and you'll say, well, by gee, they look like Chinese or Japanese. So that is one indication that makes me believe like I do. Another one is that jade that I told you about that Kraft got up at Prince Edward Island, and my jade from Point Barrow is just the same according to his idea, and his idea is good enough for me. And then along in 1900, there was a bunch of Eskimos left north of Nome and started out, and they mushed all winter and wound up in the Big Bend of the Yukon. Oh, I don't know, close to 1,000 miles, I think. But all of them seem to be everything that you know and learn about them. They're traveling south. Well, that's how I've got the dog figured out. Now, you'll go, they call the one that the Eskimo have the Siberian Husky. Well, now, science, I believe, has decided that the Siberian Husky come from Siberia 2,000 years ago as a domestic dog. Well, we'll just take a look at those Siberian Huskies. Most of them are blue-eyed. Sometimes you'll see one with a blue eye and a black eye. And so once in a while, two black eyes. But so many of them are blue-eyed. But they'll be a gray and a brown and a black and a white, spotted or pited or what have you. And I've seen, there's a bunch on the, above Nome, at a village, mind you, and they all look like they got spectacles on. Funny looking bunch, brown. But every village had what I could call a strain of dogs. All over the country was a strain of dogs. In different Indian villages would be different marked dogs, but all acting the same. All with that curly tail curled up over their back, the big shoulders, everything that the husky is. Now we'll travel down to the Yukon. There they called them Malamutes or Huskies. And they was a gray, pretty much a gray. Used some white on them, yes. Some black on them occasionally, but mostly gray. And the most of them had a gray eye. Well, now the Siberian Husky, early days, 50 pound was a big one. He was a dandy. When you got to the Malamute or the lower Yukon Husky, why, he'd weigh as much as 65, 70 pound. Now, when you got over on the Mackenzie, he was a big bruiser. I've had Mackenzie Huskies that weighed 125 pound. Well, that's a terrifically big dog. But they was also a gray dog. But still, all of them with that big shoulders, curly tail, pie spike ears, all of them built and act and everything just the same. Now, I run across a strange thing, talk about migration, at Telegraph Creek when I was coming out with the dogs. They have a dog there, typical husky, the spike ears, the curly tail, the big shoulders, everything, but he won't weigh over 15, 20 pounds. Funny little fellas. They call them hunt dogs. They use them to hunt with. And they'll stop the biggest moose or bear that comes along. Little bitty fellas, though. Where they come from, I don't know, but I believe from the husky, I'm not sure. Another thing I want to tell you, Dick, for in case I might forget it. While I was coming into Telegraph Creek, I run into an Indian camp and stopped, and there was a white woman there. Now, she was typical Indian every way you could imagine, except she had red hair and a freckled face. And, of course, her hands was white and bloody, I suppose. She was married to an Indian, had a family. And I couldn't help but notice her. I just couldn't get my eyes off of that woman. She was so different in looks from the others. Her actions were just exactly the same. She was sitting, tanning a moose hide, just same as any of them, squatting on the ground. Well, when I got into Telegraph Creek, I got to inquiring about her. And they told me there that during the 98 stampede, that there was a woman come through there and she had a baby. About the same time, there was an Indian woman had a baby there, and the Indian woman baby died. So this white woman gave her baby to the Indian woman. Now, every Indian village in the north had a dog that you could understand. He was different. There's a Peel River, and there's the Tananaw, and a dozen different. Every village had a different dog. But most of our dogs were got either, well, from all the lower Yukon and north, or from the Mackenzie. And during our mail driving, the first early mails was just haphazard. But when they really got down to really carrying mail, really into the business, the mail would come from Valdez over the Richardson Highway to Fairbanks by horses and man and what have you. I think I told you about that. But there the dogs would pick them up. And it is about 750 miles, if I remember right, to Nome from Fairbanks. We make that in about a week, making close to 100 miles a day. Now, we'd have 25 dogs. At times we'd only have 12, 10, 9, what have you, up to 50. But when we had the big teams, we had a, well, it was a ski, Ouija board or what have you. It was a hardwood board turned up at the end. And it was the wickedest thing that any man ever stepped on. That thing was shod, had three strips as a rule of brass sled runner on the bottom, about an inch wide, inch and a half, and about an eighth of an inch thick. That is to keep from wearing on the ice. Now that had a thong on it, about 6 feet, and a buckle or a snap, and you snap that into your second dog ring. Your wheel dog run 6 foot ahead of the sled. You run between them. Then your next team was 6 foot ahead of them. And you snap that into your second dog's ring where their tracer tore rope was snapped. And the Ouija board rope lifted back to about even with the end of the G-pole or a little back of that. Well, when your dog is going so darn fast that you couldn't do anything else, well, you jumped on your Ouija board and rode. A lot of them used that. I never cared much for it for two or three reasons. It was a lot too wicked for me. And then we had what they called a guide bow on the front of our sled. It fastened down close to the runners, come up over the nose in a bow. And that was from 24 to 30 inches high, the nose of that guide bow. Well, I could always, when my dogs was going too fast, I could always wait till that guide boat just about caught up with me, sit down on it, and guide my sled with my feet. I found that that was just a lot easier way to do it. Well, anyhow, in case this Ouija board throat you, or in case that you lost your G-pole, that G-pole was a sturdy thing. You could put your whole weight on it. You didn't mean to worry about that. It made out of hardwood and fastened onto the sled. There was just no danger of breaking that. But in case you did break loose from your dogs and G-pole, why, we generally drug a rope behind about 30 feet. So in case that you fell and as your sled come by, you could maybe grab the rope and tangle yourself up in it. That rope was tied to one of the handlebars, so if you was dragging behind it, it tipped the sled over. So if you got one sled tipped over, well, you was all right. Another precaution we had was a brake. We had three big spikes for the brake on the back end of the hind sled. So if they got away from us, why, we was just use the brake, if nothing else. Anyway, it's just precaution, that was all. Because in those big teams, we had five dependable leaders all the time. That is so we could handle our dogs and they could handle a team in case we run into a caribou and the rest of our dogs want to chase it. Why, the leaders could keep the bunch in line because they had neck rope on all of them. Their single tree come right up close to their hips. A rope run from there to their tow line. Then we had a neck line running right opposite their neck into the tow line, too. So we had them pretty well underway. Now, 60 miles was supposed to be a run, and we're supposed to do that in 6 hours. And if it was somebody wasn't there, well, we took it on 100. If we went, sometimes we'd change dogs, sometimes we'd only change half of them, depend on conditions and dogs and everything. But I have went as far as 300 miles in 3 days. Now, a lot of people down here will say, oh, bunk, that don't go. Don't sound good to me, or you can just see it, that's what they're thinking. Well, we'll just look at the race last winter in Anchorage. I believe you sent you that book, where that man made 100 miles in 555 minutes and 36 seconds. Well, now I'll gamble that that man never rode 10 miles on that whole 100 miles. And he had a scale on his sled that those dogs pulled on. I don't know how many dogs he had, probably 7 or 9. If he had 9 dogs, when that scale said 9 pounds, that boy was off a pushing and or kicking or doing something.